Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, the first Sunday of the month. The second collection is for the Academy, and there's a blessing of religious articles after Mass for those who need. Please keep in your prayers the Academy as we have our major fundraiser on Wednesday. The students have to jog for an hour just on our property here. It's not going to be off-site. You're welcome to come for the good weather, to support, to jog if you wish. But please pray for the great success. We are about $80,000 from our goal, which is seemingly hopeless, but we've done in the past miraculous things through God's help. So please pray and support as you can. You're definitely welcome to come and see in the bulletin the details to support if you need. On Saturday, we have the marriage recollection offered. As mentioned in the bulletin, one of our priests from Germany will be giving conferences from afar. Please encourage others and yourselves to attend if you are married or aspiring to such a vocation. Also on Sunday, we have a visitor, Father Guy Scafre from Mexico. He's a prior there. He will be given a presentation on the Mexican apostolate. And it's not only to present, but also to try to financially support. If you're able, please come prepared and certainly have questions if you have them. On Tuesday night, we have the normal weekly catechism, and then on Thursday, the Holy Name meeting as normal for the second Thursday of the month. And there will be confessions after the sermon in the lab. For the epistle of today's Mass, it is taken from Philippians chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that by my bands and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my joy. For God is my witness how I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. All this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The gospel is taken from St. Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech, and they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar, or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus said to them, Whose image and superscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. He said to them, Render, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. The reason there is so much wickedness in the world is because of the weakness of Catholic men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to consider the circumstances in which we live, and we have to know, as citizens of a state, of a country, that there is something at great stake to happen on Tuesday. Some of us could care less, because we know it's the will of God what takes place. But yet we forget that we are all instruments of Almighty God. Yours truly for you. You parents for your children. And each one of us as a citizen of a nation to support the good, to despise the bad, and to do all that we can to promote the truth. Many of us know that there are many media clips that are there for each candidate, and they're all, at this point, as the stakes are high, traveling everywhere, spending our money, and they're going at each other's throats. God willing, you recognize all of that as immoral. We are not able to unnecessarily disclose others' hidden faults. We are not able to lambast another as a lack of charity. We certainly can bring forth publicly that which is necessary and to discern that which is good, but let us never think for one instant that what we see and what we hear is always that which is good or true. Today we want to step back. That is the purpose of a Sunday, to rest, to reflect, and to understand what we must do on Tuesday or thereabouts. In New York especially, there is a possible historic moment, and we all must have faith and great hope. Yet, let us not forget that there are three theological virtues. The last, the most important, as we hear in today's epistle, must abound more and more, that which is charity. We have to love all candidates, love that they go to heaven. And yet, we have to do our part, which is not to sin, but to be virtuous, to go out and to do our part, and to know that if God allows a cross, as he's allowed so many, we must thank God. And that is one thing we have to recognize as well today, the beautiful weather. How many of us, the last few days, giving gratitude to Almighty God? There are excerpts that will be read today from Pope Pius XI on the reason why there is still so much problem in the world, why God suffers so much, although he cannot suffer in his glory, yet it's because of the ingratitude of men. It is a weakness, and let us all try today to repair for such. The Catechism of the Council of Trent asks us to reflect on two points. The one is dogmatic. It is a matter of faith. Conjoined with the gospel, the last phrase, that we must render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God's. It is that aspect that we are part of a church. There is one God. There is a Christ who founded this church who is God. There is a vicar of Christ. There are the members, the sheep who want to follow those hierarchical figures who lead us to God. And we all have our small churches, our homes, our parishes, but we're all united under this aspect of the church. We all must be given back to God. We are God's. That is God's property. We are God's in the lowercase g, of course, and that is why you parents must treat your children as princes and princesses. Now their heads are just exploding. But you parents also are children of God. And you may not have been treated as such, and therefore treat others as you were treated, which again is a problem. Hence why we have reminders always for us. Today, one of them, that we have to be united under God, Christ, the church. But yet oftentimes we get confused and we look at all these candidates and we get confused on what is right and wrong and we just do what we wish. But rather in the church, being given the truth and seeing how we must accomplish it in our daily life, we must listen and we must follow. Of course, it is hard today in the crisis in the church to know who to follow, when to follow, and how to do so. But God will give you that Catholic sense and pray for that. Pray that you want to be in the church and not just come for the sacraments. The sacraments are one small aspect of the church. There is so much more to render to God. A reflection of this in the church is to support the church. It is one of those six precepts that we often forget because we memorize the Ten Commandments, And we forget that there actually are six ways in which we can follow those commandments. Those are the precepts of the church, one of which is to contribute to the support of the church. Why? Because we need to have churches. We need to have places of worship. We need to have opportunities for parish events to bring people and involve people, because we are human. And if we don't find the church, the parish, if we don't have this hierarchical structure from where we can receive all good, we will be lost. Parents, your children follow you. So try today to reflect on how you give that example to your children. There are so many young adults who are reared and forget, or forget so much that they never have that habit to contribute to the support of the church. Today is that reminder to render to God the things that are God's. Remember that although this phrase is often taken that we have to pay our taxes and we have to pay our dues and we have to pay our bills, does not God possess all things? Is not God the originator of all things, spiritual and material? He ought to receive part of our budget, that is, to support his church. Of course, it is difficult, but it's a good reflection today to remember that phrase and what it means. But another conclusion to this, before we go to the moral aspect, is that children, you are meant to be given to God. Marriages took place yesterday, very beautiful ceremonies. Three, to my knowledge, were bound in marriage, three couples. But yet those marriages are meant to be places from which religious vocations grow. Parents, look at your children. Think of how you reflect on this phrase of Matthew 22, render to God the things that are God's. Your children, although hard it is to hear, are not your own. Your children need to know this, and they need to know that you have given life, but yet you want to give them that ultimate life, that opportunity to go to God so swiftly through the religious life. Yet, rather, Friday, I was able to go out into public with another priest, and there was a couple who waved us down and said, "Are you Catholic priests?" And thankfully, we were able to say, "Yes." He said the collar gave it away. Didn't the cassock? But yet, this man was Catholic. He said it, past tense. He was Catholic. He brought all his good memories forward. And then finally, the other priest said, "You know, we're fishermen. We're going to bring you back into the church." And he got out of that handshake so quick. He was so glad to let us go. He was so embarrassed that he had to state that he was Catholic, and yet he had to hit the reality, the truth, that we need him back in the church. He knows he's outside the church, wherein there's no salvation. And thankfully, he saw priests. But the problem of this whole story is that he often doesn't see priests. Dear parents, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But don't forget, the last, render to God the things that are God's. The second part is the moral aspect, again, of this same phrase, which means, according to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, this phrase is important. We want to reflect on how we have to live our lives. In conjunction with this, it is the fourth commandment. And the children memorized it, and parents, you know, and you are very glad to write it on your walls in your homes. Nothing else is written on your walls but this one: honor thy father and thy mother. God willing, we know it is so much more quantified and so much more qualified. That means it's not just mom and dad to whom we want to give obedience, but we need to give respect and obedience to all authority, civil and religious, teacher, priest, any adult. We want to explain this to the children because oftentimes the children think they follow the fourth commandment. They honor mom and dad. They obey mom and dad. But do they respect mom and dad? And do they bring that to all authority? Every authority, civil, politicians, government officials, teachers, anyone who has been given authority from God possesses not only their own faults, which we see so clearly, and which we want to rip down so much, but they do, encased in their authority, is God. And any time we dishonor, disrespect an authority, we have broken the fourth commandment. It is tough because at times we are so guilty of this, especially political seasons. This is when we think anything goes. And yet, what is God asking? He's asking us to give gratitude, to be virtuous for all those good things he's given. And the reason why we have so much problem in today's world is because Catholic men are so weak. Here are some words of Pius XI on this gratitude. Though he, that is Christ, insisted on the immensity of his love, at the same time with sorrowful heart, he grieved over the great number of horrible outrages heaped upon him by the ingratitude of mankind. He used the words which should be graven in the hearts of all pious souls so as never to be forgotten by them, quote, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much and has loaded them with every favor, and for this boundless love has had not merely no return of gratitude, but on the contrary, forgetfulness, neglect, contumely, and that at times at the hands of those who were so bound by the debt and duty of a special love," unquote. Today, we're given the great opportunity to repair for the past and to leap forward to the future about trying to encourage each other and being grateful for this weather, being grateful for all things we are given, a church and parents and life. How often we forget to reflect on having slept one extra hour. These things must never go outdone. And the more good and virtue that Catholic men produce, the women will follow, not only the good, but also the bad. The more good these Catholic men can do, the more they pray for good politicians, the less evil we will have in the world. What can we do, particularly as we have this month of the poor souls? Make a visit to the poor souls today. It's a family event. Go to the cemeteries and pray for those poor souls who got it wrong. They offended that fourth commandment. They got it wrong. They did not render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And they certainly, if they didn't do that, forgot to render to God the things that are God's. But we want to change that. And don't forget that Advent is in 3 Sundays. Prepare now for a good resolution to be faithful always to this fourth commandment. And God willing, vocations will blossom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.